We welcome you this evening to our worship service here in Toronto, Canada. We're going to start our evening worship with hymn number 620, if you are using one of our hymnals at home. When the storms of life are raging, tempest wild on sea and land, I will seek a place of refuge in the shadow of God's hand. Let's sing to the Lord's praise. I invite you now to join me in prayer as we commit our evening service to the Lord. Let's all bow in prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, in Jesus' precious name, we bow at the throne of grace. And we are very thankful, Lord, that when we come to call in Jesus' name, we are assured that our prayers are heard in heaven. And though we be gathered with many or few, we have the promise that where two or three are gathered in Christ's name, there he is in our midst. And our Father, tonight we give thanks for the privilege we've had this morning of reopening our church after being closed for over 4 months. And we ask thee, O God, to draw very, very near and encourage everyone who is able to come out. We know that some of our folks were not able, and we pray that your blessing would continue to be upon them where they are. Remember, Lord, tonight, those who are troubled and grieving, and certainly those who have been bereaved. We pray for Mrs. Walker tonight. Remember her two children. Remember the rest of the extended family in the death of her husband and father of their children. And Lord, we pray that they would know the comfort of the Lord Jesus Christ standing with them. Lord, we know that you've promised to be with those who are the widows and the fatherless. And so, Lord, we pray tonight that they would experience the comfort and the presence of the Holy Spirit very, very near to them. Lord, we pray for many who are sick and set aside. We ask again for your blessing and hand to be on them. Remember, Lord, we pray those of our missionaries. We think of the work in Jamaica, in Mexico City. We pray for the work in Liberia and in the Czech Republic. Remember all of your servants who are serving and ministering and laboring, sometimes under very difficult circumstances, sometimes very lonely circumstances. Father, comfort them, bless them, protect them from disease and harm and danger. We remember again the persecuted Church of Christ, those who are suffering because they have named the name of the Lord, whether it be in prison or maybe an incarceration of some kind, or just having their liberties taken from them. Lord, help them in this time of need, and let them be a blessing, and their witness and testimony shine very brightly. Remember every believer at home, around their computer, wherever they might be, joining into the service tonight. And we pray, Lord, there would be multiplied blessing for everyone. We ask that the word of the Lord would find a resting place in every heart. And Lord, we would be encouraged, and we'd be strengthened and built up in our most holy faith. Remember our nations. Remember our leaders. Remember those, Lord, who try to overturn the work of God. We pray that they will be hindered, that you would stop every evil influence that is trying to encroach, to take away the witness and testimony of the work of God. Lord, hear our prayers tonight. Bless all of our sister congregations. We think of our churches that do not have ministers full-time at this point. Lord, bless them. Bring along the right man to fill that pulpit. And we know that others have very specific needs. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to bless them and watch over them at this time. So hear our prayers. Bless our service tonight. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to sing again, number 661. All your anxiety, all of your care. Thank you. I invite you to take your Bibles now and turn to Psalm 42 for our reading tonight. Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of my countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and from the Hermonites, and from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. We know that the Lord will bless his own precious word as we have read tonight. We want to thank you for tuning in this evening, and we welcome you to our evening service. Today has been a good day for us. Well, we've been able to reopen services here in Toronto. We know that in the province of Ontario, this was really something that happened several weeks ago for some places, but we waited, sought the Lord, and wanted to make the right move. And I really want to commend the elders and the deacons of our congregation, as these men have been faithful in seeking God and wanting to know the mind of the Lord and taking very careful steps in order to secure and be doing all that we can to protect our congregation and to be sure that everyone is kept safe. And so we thank the Lord for them. But of course, we acknowledge that we are in the hands of God, and we want to move forward in the center of His will and to do His mind and to fulfill and complete all that He wants us to do. So today was an important day. After almost four months of being shut in and not able to have services, well, today marks the beginning of that for us again. We trust there will not be a second wave, as sometimes there is a fear of. We know that some places have had that, and they've been able to reopen but had to close again. That's affected some of our churches in the U.S. But we pray that God will carry us forward and will go carefully. So we are having our morning services, 11 a.m. We'll be meeting publicly here, and we're going to be doing that till the end of August. And then we hope at the beginning of September to recommence our morning and evening services in public, in live. But in the meantime, we'll be holding our evening services via a webcast through Sermon Audio, and our pre-service prayer time at 5:50 via Zoom And then we're going to continue on our Wednesday prayer meetings via Zoom, and as long as we think that's an appropriate thing to do. So we're thankful that you've been able to tune in tonight to keep us in prayer. Thank you again for your faithfulness and your tithes and offerings. And I mentioned to our pre-service prayer time that our mission board sent out a note, really an update on the COVID emergency fund. We made an appeal of, about just over a month ago, and we're very happy by the good response we've had. Collected from all of our churches in North America, around 50,000 Canadian dollars, about 34 or 5,000 US, and we've distributed $17,000 already to our mission fields, and we're keeping some in reserve in case other problems arise. And so we want to thank everyone for their contribution to this fund, and we're going to put that just in recess at the moment. We're not asking for any more funds to come in at this point unless there is a need for that, and we'll let you know in the future. So a hearty word of thanks from our mission board, and I work as the chairman of the mission board, so I'm very thankful to convey those thanks to everyone tonight. Please continue to remember in your prayers Mrs. Walker. She is one of our school parents, and two of her children attend Whitfield. In the death of her husband and the children's father today, or on Friday rather, we've been praying for the family. Do continue to hold them up before the Lord very much in your prayers, that God would comfort them, that they would know blessing. I love those promises from the scripture where the Lord watches over the widow and the fatherless, and they hold a special place in the heart of our God, and so do please continue to hold them up before the Lord. Good news from Dr. McClellan that he has now a date of August the 4th for the surgery for his heart valve replacement. Do keep our brother in your prayers that he would know clearance from any sickness between now and then, because of course if anything was to come upon him, that surgery would be delayed, and so we're praying for his ongoing health during this time, and that God would give a successful surgery as well. Continue to hold up our brother Sam McAnally as he's going through treatment. He's had some difficult times going through chemo for the cancer treatment, so remember our brother in prayer. And also we hold up Ron before the Lord and other sick ones in our congregation. Remember our brother Ken Osborne. He also is set aside at this time. The Lord will just support and strengthen our brother before God in prayer. Those are all the announcements that we have for you tonight. We're going to sing again to the Lord's praise, number 611, Under His Wings. Thank you. Please take your Bibles now and turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to read the first 8 verses of this chapter as we are continuing our study in the life of God's servant Elijah. The Lord bless His word to us as we read tonight, 1 Kings 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. When he saw that, he arose and went for his life, came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Join with me, please, in a word of prayer. Father, as we continue our study in the Word of God, in the life of this man who's held up for us as an example written for our learning, help us to understand. Help us never, Lord, to stand high in our own estimation, our own pride, our own ability. Let us not boast in what we think we can do. We pray, Father, that the Word of God would be written on our hearts this night, and there would be encouragement for the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. Encouragement, Lord, for those who are disheartened, those set aside, those maybe overcome or overwhelmed by the circumstances of life. Sometimes, Lord, we are very good at masking these things. Sometimes we're very good at putting on a show. But if the inside could be seen, if an X-ray of the spiritual heart could be seen, then, Lord, the true picture might come to the surface. We ask, Lord, for help and for grace, for understanding. Bless now the word to us. Save, Father, those who are still without Christ. Hear our prayers, we ask now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. A journey that is too great for us. A journey that is too great. The Lord has included this embarrassing setback in the great prophet's life as a stark example to us, so that when we trip and fall under the weight of ministry pressure or personal or family failure, or of repeating sin, or maybe, friend, a combination of everything, we can take comfort and gain strength that God will not leave us alone, nor leave us to ourselves, nor to the often merciless treatment of others, but the Lord will come, and He will wrap His loving arms around us. He will still the storm and give peace to the weary and the wounded, and He will restore to useful and active service. Now we know that Elijah had already experienced some great victories. In fact, he was courageous in his obedience to God. Mount Carmel, fire from God, the removal of false prophets, perseverance in prayer, seeing God answer, and the rain was sent. Then, my friend, there was the exhausting run of 40 kilometers from Mount Carmel to Jezreel in front of Ahab's chariot. It was a marathon. Surely the physical and the emotional strain of that was great, to say nothing of what it was for him to stand alone for the cause of God in the face of demonic oppression. So while we may be surprised at the reaction that he had to the statement by the wicked Queen Jezebel, when we consider all things and weigh them up in our minds, maybe we're not so surprised after all, not such a shock. You know, God includes this part of Elijah's life for us, which, by the way, may well be a little indicator that this is the word not of men, but of God. For oftentimes when the histories are written of great men, well, we are loath to include their failures, because we like to have our heroes. We like to hang our coat on the hook of that person. We think, well, we're following that guy. We're looking after that hero. We don't want to know that they have a weakness or they've had some great devastating failure. We certainly don't want to think about rejoicing over the failure of a great man. But we take courage to know that there is hope for us when we have messed up in our life, and maybe badly so. Upon hearing Jezebel's threat, Elijah retreated in haste, taking another trip, and this time not just from Mount Carmel to Jezreel, 40 kilometers, but from Jezreel to Beersheba, the southern border of Israel. And then after leaving his servant there, he went another day's journey into the wilderness of Judea, the desert area, a total of 220 kilometers. That's how far he went. And then we're told that he sat down, or maybe he collapsed, under a bush, a shrub, a juniper tree. And what did he say? Well, he requested that God would take his life away. Elijah exclaimed, as we observed in our last study, "It's enough. Literally, I want to die because of such a monumental failure of my life. A life that was so set apart by God and so set apart for God. And I've messed it up. I've thrown it all away. What is left for me? I might as well just die, get it over with. I cannot face the world anymore. Surely, Lord, I can't be of any useful service for you anymore. Last time we were together, we considered some things that maybe we should not be so surprised when the fury and the hatred of God's enemies come against us, because it can lead to great discouragement in our lives. That the reason for our failures may be more complicated than we at first think. The intensity of the work, the fierce opposition of Satan, the physical toll upon body, mind, and spirit, the tangible discouragement of heart. I mean by that, we've failed the Lord. We've neglected our duty. We've disappointed the God that has called us, saved us, given us so much. We're no longer of any use for the Lord. And on top of all that, we brought shame upon the gospel. And all of these things, my friend, they add up to a great sum. He knew that he had failed God in running away. And you know, the greater that a man has served God, the more devastating the fall of failure and the crushing pressure of desertion. For him, there appeared to be just no other way out, no way of solving this problem other than ending what had been up to that point a successful life for God. But now it was in shambles. It was a failure. It was a disaster. And how could he ever recover from this? But I say to you tonight, my friend, that it is just at this place, just at that point, that the word tonight will show us of the tender care of the Lord in the times of our greatest failure. And that's the subject that we want to think about tonight. Would you learn with me, please, in the first place, the understanding of the Lord. Elijah's reaction and request, while they were radical and would end in disaster for him, he said, "It is enough." And you know something? The Lord agreed with him. The Lord agreed with him at that point, at least in principle, by saying, "Yes, Elijah, the journey is too great for thee." Where he had come from and where he was going required more than a man could muster up within himself. You know, the failure of God's servants has often been at the place where we would have expected them to be the strongest and to succeed. What about Abraham? He is called the man of faith, the father of the faithful. Where did Abraham fail? He failed in the very place of trusting and having faith in God when there was a famine, and he went down to Egypt, and on top of that, then he lied about who Sarah really was. A man of faith, but it was at the very place of faith that he failed. What about Moses? Moses is called the meekest man in the earth, the man who was in control of the power that God had given to him, a man of even temperament. And yet it was at that very place that he lost his temper because of the murmuring of Israel, and instead of speaking to the rock, he smote it again, breaking the type that God had given. And so for that, the Lord said, "You've disobeyed me. You've dishonored me in front of all the people. You're not now going into the land that I have promised to my people." Moses, a meek man, but he lost his cool. He lost his temper. How about Job? Job is called the man of patience. But I say to you that Job ran out of patience with God and with men. David is called a man after God's own heart. But David fell into the sin of adultery and murder. And so Elijah, a man of faith and courage and strength, who stood outnumbered against the prophets of Baal, he flees before the word of a woman. What a word of warning there is to all of us, my friends, tonight. Let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Let us never look with accusing eyes at the failures of someone else and imagine for a moment that I would never have done that. I certainly would not fail in that area. Let not those foolish words come out of our mouth if we dare to think them in our heart. Put them far from us. They are nonsense, and they will come back to bite us. For the Lord said, if you think you're strong, if you think you're going to stand, if you think you've got it all together, you're going to go down. It may just be at that place where we think ourselves the strongest, where we imagine ourselves invincible spiritually or physically, that the chipping of the hammer of lust will erode the foundation of our testimony. And the floodwaters of temptation, they will overflow the banks and we will be submerged in sin. Let's all beware. Let's all be sure that we don't think ourselves stronger or better. It is just when the travel of our lives and the journey that we are on, when it grinds us very low and it exhausts our fuel, it expends all of our energy, leaving a trail of wreckage behind, and we come to the place of just frankly giving up, that God pours out of His love and grace with words of so much the opposite of rebuke or disdain. No, His communication to us in the times of our greatest distress, they are gentle. They are peaceful. They are soothing. And yes, friends, they are kind, because our God is a God of love and a God of compassion. And He sees and knows. How many times, friend, have you experienced the tender, loving care of the Lord when you were waiting for His wrath, when you were waiting for the sting of punishment upon you, and instead of that, there has been a tender touch? Isn't that like the Lord? Isn't that just the way He comes to us? In the time of our greatest disappointment and our failure, when we maybe expected a crash or a collapse, only to receive grace upon grace from the One who loves us with an everlasting love. This is how the Lord came to Elijah, His servant. Have you heard that echo in your ears from the Lord? The journey is too great, too hard for you. It's time to stop and to be refreshed. Yes, says the Lord, the journey is too grueling, too difficult, and it's just summed up in that it's too great for us. So we have, friends, tonight in this word from God, the understanding of the Lord. And then secondly, would you please note the loving touch of God upon his servant. After Elijah had exhausted himself with a 220 or 30 kilometer walk after everything else, then he fell asleep under the tree. How long after that, an angel came and touched him and awaked him with a meal from heaven. We don't know. We don't know how long Elijah slept. But we know this. When the angel came and touched him, it was in essence the hand of God that touched his servant. Was this the angel of the Lord, the messenger of the covenant that came down to touch his servant? It may well have been. What transpired was a most loving indication of the Lord's mercy to his servant. For the angel of God prepared a meal. He was the chef. He was the one who baked a cake. We could call this the bread of heaven that had come to refresh from the very oven of glory, and water, a cruse of water at his head. Oh, friend, when we think about this cake that was baked, this bread fresh from heaven, isn't it like the Lord who is the bread of life? The one who comes to us in the time of our need. And he comes to refresh us. He comes to nourish us in our need. And when we think of all that Jesus, our Savior, is to us, of the bread of glory, and how he came down from glory to leave his splendor, that he might come to feed and to prepare and to provide all of our need. And so, friend, the Lord, he comes to us again and again and again. And he comes to give provision. We know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But we also realize this, that bread and water, necessary things for a man's physical need, and they are welcome to a weary and a soul that needs to be nourished. You know, before this, Elijah, he'd been fed by ravens. And then after the water dried up at the brook where he had been fed by the ravens, well, the Lord sent him to Zarephath, and there was a poor widow, didn't have anything left. And Elijah says, give me a little of the food you have left. And she says, okay, I'll do this to God's faithful servant. And that step of faith that she made saw then the miracle of the provision for this widow of Zarephath and her son and Elijah throughout the whole journey of the famine, another 3 years almost. The Lord provided for Elijah then. But now, here is the tenderness of this supernatural dispatch of God's provision. You know, the Lord is always watching over us. He's always concerned, always attending to our necessities of his weary and worn out children. And I say this to you tonight, that the Lord will attend to the needs of Mrs. Walker and her children. He will supply them with the grace that, quite frankly, the rest of us wonder, how will she ever get through this? How will her children ever deal with this? It's not going to be easy, I know. But the Lord has promised to come and to provide that one standing in the shadows, to give the oil of joy for that time of great heaviness and mourning, the garment of praise. God's prophet then eats, and he settles down again for much needed rest. My friend, never underestimate the loving touch of God in giving to you rest in your body and in your spirit. We undoubtedly need spiritual rest, but that is so much connected with our spiritual rest. How so? Because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You see, our whole person, made up of soul and body, it's a work together in a mysterious unity. And sometimes we can't figure it out. And you wonder why you might be cast down spiritually, and yet you find out there's a physical problem. And when you address the physical problem, then you will have help in the spiritual area. We are linked together mysteriously. The surprise often comes, though, to us by how the Lord arranges this rest, this loving rest that He gives. It may be by the seclusion of sleep, a prolonged hospital stay brought on by some illness. It may be by a pandemic whereby He slows down a society, a country, maybe a world to some degree, allowing time for recharging, rebuilding. You know, whatever the Lord has allowed through all this, this is one of the benefits and the side impacts of this in those early days and weeks when people were set aside and there was time for drawing close to the Lord. Have you, my friend, utilized that time of the Lord's purpose in your life? I pray that we will see and use these times which God gives to us. You know, your case may be unique to your own circumstance, but what's important is this. It's to see the hand of God in the shadows of life and in the pathway that He is directing you, and to receive this by faith, and to see that what is happening in us is happening for our good by the loving hand of God and for His glory. God is working in us and through us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Therefore, let us submit ourselves willingly under His hand. For Elijah, there was the understanding of God in his situation and how he got to be where he was, the loving touch of God upon him, and could we say, thirdly, God's patient and convalescing care to his servant. Because we are told very specifically that the angel came again, the second time, and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." Came the second time. The great physician, our Lord Jesus, He knows what is best for His people. And you know, His second time approaches to us are times that are so precious because they are really times of need that you and I have. Family and friends, they may be a help to a limit. Family and friends may say, as David did when Saul and Jonathan were slain, "How are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle?" And that's about all they can say. And they have no further words of comfort. Yes, they may give up. And they may conclude that all is over, or that we're in the situation we're in because we deserve it. It's our own fault. And let us get a belly full of it. What does God do? How the Lord comes to our beleaguered situation, to His saints that are cast down and weak. And the Lord comes a second time. And He comes with words of comfort, words of restoration, words of comfort. Friend, have you sinned against the Lord tonight?
Have you dishonored him in some way? Do you think perhaps all is over and your life should be taken? Wait. Wait. Stop. Come to think again of how the Lord deals with and cares for and is patient with his servants in times where he is convalescing and helping them. We're told in verse 8 that Elijah then, after those two occasions of rest and food, that he continued his journey. And he went in the strength of his heavenly food for 40 days and nights until he came to Horeb, the Mount of God. From where he was, sleeping under the juniper tree in the wilderness south of Beersheba, to Mount Horeb. Do you know how long that is? A journey? It's estimated to be 400 kilometers. 400 kilometers. Now, whether or not this phrase 40 days and 40 nights are figurative to represent a long trip, or they are actually that time, amount of time, it was, by any estimation, quite a journey. Obviously, God was bringing his servant down to Mount Horeb, a long way from Samaria and from Jezreel, in order to show him some necessary truth about himself and about God. His travels may seem extreme, but they were all going to be used in the life of this man who had been shown so much, who had been exalted so high, and in order for Elijah not to glory in himself, God allowed him to see his own weakness and the weakness of his own flesh, the mortality of his own existence, and that without God, he was absolutely nothing. He was no more than a suicidal candidate. That's who Elijah was. And he was brought right to the face to face with himself, looking at the mirror of his own heart. You know, men at best, well, we all are just but men, but people. We're all humans. In conclusion tonight, friends, let us therefore take courage that when we are overwhelmed by life and ministry and 1,000 discouragements, God is watching over us and he is lovingly concerned with every detail of our lives. He is not a distant God, but he is a Father near at hand, near to love, near to bless, near to encourage and to set back up on our feet again. Let us understand tonight that no one understands like Jesus. No one cares like our God for us. And that we therefore are to rest in the loving touch of God upon our soul. To know that God's patient purpose and care for us is always for our good and for his glory. He understands when the journey is too great. And therefore, let us find our rest and refreshment in him alone. The journey, too great for us, but it's never, never too great for our God. He is the God of all grace and all supply. And he will supply all our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Therefore, believer, tonight, trust in him at all times. Maybe you're a bit like the psalmist as we read tonight. And he asked the question, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? And the answer comes back, hope thou in God. For he is our strength and the refreshment of our countenance, and the builder up of our spirit, and the one to recommission comes to us the second time and sets us on the road again after our failures. As we continue in our study of the life of Elijah, we have many things to learn and many applications to apply. And so as we continue, may God use His Word to build up and to bless and to encourage every heart. Friend, if you've been listening tonight and you're not a Christian, you're not a believer, come to the Lord. Don't make any delay. You call upon Him. Repent of your sin. You will find the Lord is very close to hear, to answer, to save. And if you have failed, if you find yourself cold in heart or backslidden, the answer is as simple as a prayer. Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, forgive me of my sin. And the Lord will restore. He will set us on our feet on our way again. And He will cause His Son to be glorified through us and in us. Let's close our service tonight. We're going to sing a hymn together in closing. Number 515, 515, Jesus shall lead me. Let's sing to the Lord's praise. Father, tonight we give thanks for your friendship to us, the friendship of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no friend that is so near, no friend that cares so much, no comforter that is so concerned. Father, we are blessed. We are so blessed. We pray that in the hours of our discouragement, in the times of our weakness, we will come back again to remember, be reminded of your faithfulness to us. And it will never wear out. It will never be extinguished. It will never be time-dated. Lord, we are thankful tonight for your great love to us, and for the times you come and the second times that you come, and you acknowledge and know, Lord, when the journey is too great for us.
So encourage every believing heart. Strengthen us, Lord, for this week's work and for tomorrow when we awake and are about all of our business. And we don't know what a day will bring. We don't know what news a day will bring. But Lord, we commit every detail. We commit every item. We commit every step into your loving hands. Hear our prayers. And so, Lord, part us in your fear with your great mercy and blessing. And may the blessing of our Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit be our portion. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.